You may be stupid. Today we have Pastor Elvin Tan to give us the message. For those of you who don't know, he's our Pastor John's brother. He's also the pastor that married me and Kat. He's married to his wife Daisy with three children, and they both were called to cross-cultural missions with OMF in Cambodia. And when they came back to Singapore, Pastor Elvin is serving as a missions pastor in Bartley Christian Church, and he's also the senior pastor there. So without further ado, let's have Pastor Elvin to bring us the passage from Luke 5, chapter 1 to 11.
Very good morning to all of you, and it's my joy and privilege to bring the Lord's word to you this morning. So I want to thank my brother, who's my blood brother, John, that has extended the invitation for me to come. And also want to thank the worship leaders. I believe the choice of songs that they have chosen this morning was intentionally with the sermon title that I've given them, The Call of Jesus. Jesus calls us to discipleship, to body life, and to missions. Let me just lead us in a word of prayer, asking the Lord to prepare our hearts to receive His word. Our gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for your great love for us, that while we were yet sinners, you died on the cross for us. And Father, by your grace and mercy, you drew us into a relationship with you. You called us not individually, but called us to be a body of Christ and given us a mandate to bring the gospel that has delivered us to those that are around us, near and far. So this morning, I just want to pray for those from this community of faith who are not well. I pray for Pastor John, who's recovering at home from COVID, and pray that, Lord, he will regain back his good health and strength in due time and continue with the ministry that you have given him. Pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning that, Lord, you will prepare their hearts to receive your word, and that hearts will be tender, sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit and speaking to them. And may your word be clear. And that, Father, we pray that your word will take root in their hearts and grant them to hear your still small voice and with hearts of obedience. So, Father, we just commit this time to you in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. So this morning, I will be using a PowerPoint, and my sister there will control the PowerPoint for me. And as I give her the thumbs up, she will then click, all right? Yeah, because I don't have the clicker with me. But that's okay. I trust the Lord speak to you through His word more than just the PowerPoint. The PowerPoint is just a help. Huh? It's not the most important thing. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11 is recorded by Dr. Luke. And Dr. Luke is one that is known to be very good with details. He gave us the Gospel of Luke and also continued to write the book of Acts. And this morning, I thought it would be good to bring each of you down memory lane to remember the day that Christ revealed himself to you, when Christ touched your heart and let you see him for who he is, and how you responded to him revealing himself to you. And I know perhaps in this morning, some of you may be first generation Christians like me, that event of receiving and accepting Christ, acknowledging him as Lord and Savior is a significant event because we don't come from a Christian family. We didn't. Yeah. But for some of you here, you may grow up in a Christian family and that event could be different. It may be a process instead of a one-time event that you went to church with your parents, you went to Sunday school, but at some point of your life, everything you heard and learned from church suddenly makes sense. It clicked. And your heart and your mind was enlightened by the Holy Spirit. So whether you're a first or generation Christian, this morning, we want to look at how Jesus called his first disciples and what it meant for them. And I believe that the 12, the disciples that Jesus called, they were schooled in the Jewish tradition. They knew the Old Testament. They memorized it by the age of 5 or 6. But when Christ came into their lives, everything changed. And this morning, I just want to read through the passage first from Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. So on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and Jesus saw 2 boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of the boats, and the fishermen were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon, he asked Simon to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, teaching the crowd, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and caught nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they caught a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so much so that both boats began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For Peter and all who were with him, they were astonished at the catch of the fish that they had taken. And so were also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Let's take a look at the context when this happened. You know that James and John, Andrew and Peter, they were all fishermen. They were experienced fishermen. They were not novice or rookies. This is their trade. They were professional fishermen. I don't know whether anyone who loves fishing here, and you know what fishing is like, but these are professional fishermen. And they had gone out to fish the whole night. They caught nothing. They came back. They left the boat at the beach on the seashore and started to clean, wash, and mend their nets in the early morning. And this is the time, the occasion when Jesus appeared walking at the seashore, and he saw the 2 empty boats. And he went into Simon's boat, and asking Simon to put the boat out a little bit. And this was the time. But the crowd had heard about Jesus. They heard about Jesus, and because they heard about Jesus, many of them were pressing in on him to hear the word of God. They heard about that Jesus was a master teacher, a rabbi without training, but yet taught in a way that no rabbi could. He was different. When they heard Jesus teaching and preaching, they knew that he was from God. And every one of them wanted to hear and receive the word of God from Jesus. And they were pressing, and Jesus was standing at the edge. And the only way to be able to teach a mass in a crowd was to go on a boat, Simon's boat, and ask Simon to pull it off a little bit off the shore so he can address the crowd. And that was what he did. And this was a moment that was not written a lot, but something happened to those who were listening. Something happened to the fishermen who were sitting around in the boat with Jesus when Jesus taught and preached to the crowd. So after the session of teaching, something happened which we later came to know more about it. What happened? First, we see how Jesus calls them to discipleship. Discipleship is to follow him, to follow him. Jesus tells, first of all, to Peter, Simon Peter, to say, put the boat out into the deep. All right. After, this is after the teaching, after the preaching. All right. He finished. And now Jesus is calling to Simon Peter, take your boat out into the deep. When you reach the deep, let down your nets for a catch. Just imagine a carpenter coming to tell the professional fisherman, this is the time to catch fish. I'll tell you where. You just go into the deep end and just drop your net. Nah? And Peter is amazed. What did Peter say? Launch into the deep. When Jesus calls Peter to take the boat out into the deep and let your nets down, he's actually challenging Peter to take a step of faith. Take a step of faith. The call to discipleship, when Jesus first called you to follow him, it is a call to live the rest of your life by faith. Now that's tough, that's challenging. And Peter is, you remember that Peter is a professional fisherman, and yet now Jesus is teaching him how to fish. He has to make a decision. All right. And what's that decision that he made? Next slide. Next. Peter responded, Master, do you know that we have actually gone out whole night fishing and yet we caught nothing? But at your word, I will let down the nets. I will launch into the deep and let down the net. Although I may think I know everything in my profession, in my life, I now live my life by faith in obedience. Next. A call to discipleship is to live your life by faith, and also a call to live your life in obedience every moment and every situation, even though you may think that you are in control of your life and you know what's best for your life. So Jesus called to discipleship, next slide, is both a life lived by faith and also in obedience. So brothers and sisters, today, Are you continuing to live your life moment by moment, situation by situation, by faith and in obedience to Christ? I thank the Lord that I was also, even though I wasn't born from a Christian family, but I was exposed to church. And I remember that over Sunday school as a child, you know, Sunday school teachers will ask for hands to be put up, those who want to be prayed to receive Christ. And I put up my hand several times because I just didn't want to get into trouble with my Sunday school teacher. You know. But at the age of 12, there was a moment when the gospel was presented to me very simply. But this time round, things lightened up in my heart and mind. I could understand what it meant when Jesus was calling me. And if I couldn't remember what was the passage that the person's, I couldn't remember a lot of things, but there's one clear thing. At that age of 12, when I made that decision, before I made that decision, Jesus made it clear to me that if you make this decision to follow me, for the rest of your life, every decision you make will hinge on this decision. And I was scared. I was only 12. I haven't experienced what life is like, right? So, but this time round, at that time, I came to realize if I were to make this decision to follow Jesus, accept Him as my Lord and Savior, every other decision, my choice of career, my life partner, how do I lead my wife and my children, everything else, decision-making process for the rest of my life is to be made in faith in Christ, through faith in Christ, and also in obedience to His command and to His direction with His wisdom and strength. So that is something that I thought would be good for us to recall when Christ called you to follow Him. It was a call to you to live your life by faith and in obedience to Him. The second point is that when Jesus calls us to discipleship, He calls us. He may call us individually, but then He calls us into a community of faith, which we call the body life. We are called into the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, we experience the body life of Christ in the community of faith. Right? Let's read verse 6 to 9. And when they had done this, when the disciples launched into the deep, let down their nets, when they obeyed by faith in Christ's command to launch into the deep and drop their nets, something happened. A miracle happened. And what was the miracle? They caught large number of fish, so many that their nets were breaking. And when Simon Peter's boat, when their net was breaking, they call out. They signal to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came. They came to help Simon Peter, and both boats were filled to the full, to the brim, so much so that both boats were close to sinking. In fact, Luke records that they were beginning to sink as they pulled the two boats full of fishes back to shore. Now, something happened to the disciples. First, they heard the teaching and the preaching of Christ. And then in obedience by faith, they launch into the deep and drop the nets as Jesus had commanded them, against all the professional fishermen's knowledge and experience, right? But yet, they lived by faith and in obedience and they went into the deep. But a miracle happened. At that time of the day, which is late morning under the sun, and all good fishermen know when the sun comes out, the fish goes down, right? When you want to catch the fish, you catch it in the early morning where the fishes is cool, the fish comes up to the surface. So the fishermen, Peter, James, and John, Andrew, when they caught the fish and so many of it that they knew that they discovered something about Christ that they didn't realize. Next. The fishermen came together to help each other, the sharing of joy and in sorrow. Here we see Simon Peter in the midst of managing the many fishes. He couldn't handle and he called for help. And when each of you make that decision to follow Christ, you come into a community of faith, as in this community of faith that you are here. And you are part of the body of Christ. As a part of the body of Christ, you are in a community to share moments of joy and moments of pain and sorrow as well. And here, I just want to share that last year in my church, our own community of faith, something that was very painful happened to a family. One young man at the age of 39, on the day that his wife gave birth to their third daughter, he was diagnosed with leukemia. And within a very short period of 8 to 9 months, despite going through all medical treatment, a lot of prayer, a lot of faith, the Lord took him home. He didn't live to see the first birthday of his third daughter. They had three girls. The wife was devastated. She was in a lot of pain and confused. She asked the Lord, how will she raise up these three young daughters? I think the age of 5, 3, and 1, less than 1. And went through tremendous time of challenge, a lot of questions. And that was the time that the community of faith had to come alongside the family. We had cell groups and body life, and the cell group that came alongside them, the pastor that was overseeing that cell, in a way, adopted the three daughters as their own. They already had three, so they informally took that three daughters as their own, making sure that they become foster parents of this family. And the whole cell group members came to visit the family. They provided cooked food when there was no one to cook the food. They provided the groceries and just came alongside and to journey with the wife and also play with the three daughters. And this not just a one-time thing, but it's a long-term commitment to ensure that the wife and the three daughters continue to take this journey by faith. And the Christian network beyond the church who heard about this came alongside to support them and encourage them that, yeah, right now they may not be able to see the purpose that God has in allowing this. But we trust that God is good and that God has a reason. And that reason he may reveal in the future, or may he may choose not to reveal. But sometime, somewhere, we will be able to meet the husband again in eternity. So Jesus calls us to body life. He calls us to discipleship, to live by faith and obedience, but also a body life of sharing in joy and in sorrow. Now, this is something that happened to Simon Peter personally. When Simon Peter saw the miracle of the catch, the huge catch, you know, any other fisherman would start counting how many fish they caught and how much money they would earn, isn't it? But Peter's response was that immediately he fell down at Jesus' knee and made a confession. "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." So something happened. I think Peter began to realize that Jesus is just not a good man. He's not just a good rabbi, teacher, and preacher, but he is indeed the Son of God. God himself manifested in the Son of Man. And because he came to see who Christ is, he began to realize how sinful he is. And he cannot help but kneel at the knees of Jesus and asking Jesus to depart from me, for I am a sinful man. That's a confession. A confession of someone who can really see himself for who he is. For no one is righteous before the Lord, the Holy God. And all of us, we are redeemed, but we are redeemed sinners. Right? And when we are called to a community of faith together, we need to continue to acknowledge and practice this life in the community, a life of confession in community. This is a spiritual practice that has often been lost. How many of us in your community of faith, when you acknowledge that there's a time that God revealed something within your heart that is wrong, that is not glorifying and honoring to Him, you would so much as confess that before brothers and sisters whom you trust, whom you know are accountable for you. And the practice of that confession continues to do something spiritual in the heart and life of that community of faith. That we remind ourselves that we are still sinful, but we are redeemed. We have the power to overcome that sin. But yet we live in a world that is still under some level of the controls and the temptations of sin. And all of us are exposed to some extent. And when we fall, what we can do is to come back to Jesus and ask for His forgiveness. And we can do this with our community that God has given us so that they can hold us accountable, so that they can pray and continue to encourage and support us as a community of faith. Next. There is a saying by Plummer, "It is the master whose orders must be obeyed, the Lord, God who is holy, whose holiness cause moral agony to the sinner." In the life and ministry of Christ, those who knelt at his knees and asked for forgiveness were those that recognized Jesus for who he is, his holiness. And in the light of his holiness, they saw their own sinfulness. And in that contrast, they can do nothing but confess themselves before the Lord. And this is a spiritual practice that each of us, every day, at some point or moment, we come, whether in the morning, early in the morning before you start the day, or in the evening before you rest, you can pause for a moment of confession. or moment where you reflect through the day of what has happened in your life. And the Holy Spirit will then reveal certain times where you may have said something that was not glorifying and honoring, or you may have said something that hurt someone, or you may have done something that you know is not honoring and glorifying to God. If those were precious moments, you would then acknowledge that in the holiness and presence of God, you would confess what you have done before Him, so that you do not carry the burden and the not acknowledging daily of the acts and the words that we have done that sometimes saddens our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when Jesus calls us to body life, it's a body life of sharing the joy and sorrow, and also as a community of faith, a call to confession to each other so that we can continue to encourage and lift each other up through accountability and prayer. Thirdly, Jesus calls, His call to us to discipleship, to follow Him, is also a call to us to be missional. Missional simply means to be looking out for people who are lost, people who have drifted from the Lord and church, and God has placed you where you are in whatever vocation that He has given you, that talent, that gift, that training, to look out for people who are lost. And that's you are then a missionary by vocation. You're missionary by the work and job that God has given you and where He has placed you. All right. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And this is a call to a life of intentional disciple making. Looking out for people who are lost for eternity, looking out for people who have heard of Christ but no longer follow Him, you are to call out, to reach out to them, to befriend them, and to make a faithful disciple from this context. To be called to be missional is to have this new sense of purpose, a new purpose, a new sense of purpose in your life. To know that it is not by chance or by your choice you are where you are today. The work that you do, whether you could be a homemaker, sometimes you may think that it is your choice, but God is sovereign and He has allowed you to be where you are and place you where you are for a purpose. And that purpose is to intentionally look out for people whom you can reach out to, build a relationship with, and help them to be a disciple of Christ. So a new purpose in life for Simon now is that Jesus is calling him, well, you don't need to chase after the fish, but you can start catching men. So brothers and sisters, we are called to catch men in your vocation where He placed you. Catch men who are alive, all right? And catch men for the rest of your life. This is the new purpose when you follow Jesus. That's the new intention. Whatever work you do, always be mindful and always be looking out for men that you can catch. You can catch them while they're alive, because when you catch fish, somehow fish will be dead. Catch men alive and catch men for the rest of your life. This is the intentional discipleship purpose that God has given you when He called you. So Jesus calls us to follow Him in discipleship, living a life of faith and in obedience. And to discipleship, to follow Him, being a part of the body of Christ, the body life in the community of faith. And in this community that God has placed you here, you live that life sharing the joy, pain, and sorrow, and at times, even the need to confess to each other what God has done in your life, what God has rebuked you or God has told you in your secret, in the secret of your moments with Him. And a call also to missional discipleship. That means living your life with renewed purpose. And this renewed purpose is the intentional discipleship, the intention to catch men and to follow Christ, to invest your time and your life in building relationship with people who are open to follow Christ. You disciple them, you walk with them, you teach, and you guide, and you mentor, and be an example to them. Cost of discipleship. Is there a cost to follow Christ? Of course, there is a cost, and you need to calculate the cost clearly. There is a cost. Because at the end of this passage, after hearing the teaching and preaching of Christ at the beach, Jesus entered the boat, was with them, asked them to launch out to the deep to drop their nets. They obeyed. They caught the fishes. And when Peter confessed, the rest of the fishermen identified together with the confession of Peter. And when they brought the fish to the shore, you know, they didn't bother to count the fish. What did they do? They left everything and followed him. For a professional fisherman to leave their fishing boats and their nets is the cost that Christ has called them. I don't know what is the cost that Christ is calling you to follow him. What are the things that you need to leave behind? And these are some questions that I want to pose to you for a time of reflection and meditation. Before that, let's just read a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He said, "Costly grace is the treasure hidden in the field. For the sake of it, a man will gladly go and sell all he has. It is the pearl of great price by which the merchant will sell all his goods." This is the cost of discipleship, that the decision to follow Christ must be the key and pivotal decisions that dictate every other decision that you make for the rest of your life. It is selling everything that is precious and a treasure to you so that you can gain that precious pearl. And that means that Christ may be calling you to let go some of the things that you have precious, that are precious to you, and your treasure to follow him. So in closing, I have some questions that I would like to ask you to take your time to spend some time in reflection and meditation. And the first question is, first of all, is Jesus in your lifeboat today? Is he even in your lifeboat today? Have you actually asked him to come into your life? Have you actually invited him into your life? And if he is in your lifeboat today, is he the master? Is he the master and Lord on your boat? Or are you still the professional fisherman, the master of your own boat? Perhaps Jesus is just a passenger and you can call on him whenever you want to or whenever you need to. But at other times, you are still the master and the Lord of your own life. So is Jesus first in your boat? And if he's in your boat, is Jesus the master and Lord of your life? Second, if he is the master of your boat, is he calling you this morning to move out into the deep? And will you obey him? Is there a point in your life that Jesus is challenging you to take a step of faith to move your life into the unknown? To move your life into a step of faith? And will you obey him even though you're not sure if this is what, you know, it goes against your human logic. It goes against your training and your experience. But yet it's coming to you clear that Christ is asking you to take a step of faith in obedience to him. Will you obey him to take this step of faith? And the last question that I have to reflect is, what else? Is there anything else that you need to leave behind to follow Jesus? Sometimes when we follow Jesus, we take with us many other things that are precious. And Jesus slowly tells us, you need to let go. These are the things that you need to leave behind if you really want to follow me. So are there still things that we cling on to in our lives and we have not left them behind when we made the decision to follow Christ? I want to give you just a few moments of personal time to reflect through just three questions. And in your own way, you can say and pray to Jesus if he's speaking to you this morning. Right. So I'll just leave the slide on for you to think through and listen to what Christ has spoken to you this morning, and I'll just close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we stand before a holy God. We want to thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to live amongst us, to die on the cross. And today, he's risen, he's ascended into heaven, interceding for us. Thank you, Lord, for each one of us here at some point in our lives. Father, you have revealed yourself to us. You have called us to follow you. Lord, I pray that, Lord, all of us would have invited you into our lifeboat. Father, if there are areas of our life that we have not surrendered to you, you have not yet become the master and Lord of our life. Lord, would you reveal the areas of our life that we have not yet surrendered to you. And help us through the unseen, mysterious work of the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin and areas that we have not yet surrendered to you, and come before you like Peter did, kneeling at your knees and confessing that, Father, we are still Lord and Master of our own life. And surrender that area of our life to you. And Father, if some of my brothers and sisters here today have heard your call to launch into the deep, to take a step of faith, even though they are fearful to take that step of faith, Lord, would you, through your Holy Spirit, grant them courage and strength to live by faith in obedience, to take that step of faith, knowing and hearing you clearly and in obedience. And Lord, when you work a miracle in our lives, we can share the joy or in our moments of in pain in sorrow with each other, so that, Lord, we are a community of faith, a body of Christ that we are accountable to, and we want to rejoice together, to laugh with those who laugh, to rejoice with those who rejoice, and yet weep with those who weep, because you have called us to be growing, following you in a community of faith. And Father, we acknowledge and recognize that where we are working and serving you, whether as a homemaker or in a workplace, marketplace, you have placed us there to look out for those who are still lost and lost for eternity because they do not know who you are and they have not invited you into their lives. Or others who have some point attended church but today have drifted away from you. Lord, would you give us that opening to befriend them, to build a trusted relationship, and that, Lord, we can reach out to them and help them to come back to you, to disciple them, to know who you are, and to be a faithful disciple of yours. So, Lord, as we thank you for your work of your Holy Spirit amongst us, may your word take root in our hearts this morning and help us to continue to remember and keep your word close to us. Speak, O Lord, and help us to respond to you in obedience. With this, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.